2 Thessalonians chapter 2, beginning with verse 13. We ought always to give thanks to God for you, brothers beloved by the Lord, because God chose you as the first fruits to be saved through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. To this He called you through our gospel, so that you may obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brothers, stand firm and hold to the traditions that you were taught by us, either by our spoken word or by our letter. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God our Father, who loved us and gave us eternal comfort and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish them in every good work and word. May God bless the reading of His word. So imagine this scenario. You're shopping for a new computer. Your old one no longer functions, and so you're doing some shopping, and you'd really like to get something that's going to fit the bill. It's going to do the job, and it's going to last. However, the $1,000-plus price tag has brought you some discouragement. By the time you purchase the hardware and then the software to go with it, it's going to set you back significantly. So after visiting several retail giants and a handful of computer specialty stores, you finally hit on what sounds like a deal too good to pass up. You're offered a state-of-the-art computer with everything ready to go right out of the box for the bargain price of $399 cash and carry. You inquire, how can you offer this? Because I've seen this elsewhere for $1,000 and more. How can you offer this at this price? And you're informed, well, this is a scratch and dent model. So you look around it and you don't see anything. But if you've done some scratch and dent shopping, you know that that's not unusual. That sometimes it's so insignificant that you really can't even find it. You decide, hey, this looks good. So you buy it. The scratch, they tell you, is almost microscopic. It is so small. The guy describes it like this. It's like a little scratch that's about like a piece of hair, only it's only about an eighth of an inch long. It's just a little bitty thing. And so you say, okay, then I'll take it. You take it home, you plug it in, and immediately you got problems. It's not behaving the way it's supposed to behave, and it becomes evident that there's something faulty with this machine. So you get your paperwork out, you call tech support, and you're on the phone. They ask you for your information. You provide it, and tech support says, I'm sorry, we can't answer any questions because this is a scratch and dent model you bought. It does not come with tech support. And you respond, I know this is a scratch and dent, but I've looked all over this thing, and I can't even find the scratch anywhere on here. The guy on the other end of the phone line says, well, I looked it up here, and it says that your scratch is on your CPU. For those of you who don't know what that is, that's your central processing unit. It is your motherboard. This is what actually makes everything work. And as a matter of fact, if it's in a certain location on that CPU, a scratch that is the width of a piece of hair and an eighth of an inch long can actually destroy thousands of circuits, which obviously it has. What's my point here? Little matters much. And that's where we want to go today. We need to understand that little matters much. And we as a church believe that. We believe that little matters much. What we do here at Awana for several hours every week has great significance. Or what we do at Sunday school for an hour every Sunday morning, or at any of the other PCC ministries, may, from the grand scheme of things as far as the world is concerned, may seem so totally insignificant as to not even demand notice. But we believe that those little things matter. They matter much. They are significant. As a matter of fact, I would say to you that any one of these little things that we're talking about today could well alter eternity for one or more of you who are sitting here today. That's how much it matters. With that in mind, I want you to consider three things we're doing through Awana and through the other ministries here at PCC. First of all, through Awana, we are impacting boys and girls, young men and women daily. We are impacting boys and girls, young men and women daily. We send them home with instructions. Now, kids, I'm not so naive as to think that as soon as you get home, you jump right on those assignments and you get them done right away. No, I know you wait until just before it's time for club the next week, and then you start working on it. But the truth is that these things probably come to your mind throughout the week. So even though we meet once a week for Awana, once a week for Sunday school, once a week for various other ministries, every day the impact of what we are doing during those few hours is coming back in order to impact your heart and mind. And what we are impacting those boys and girls, young men and women with, is kingdom truth. These are not just peripheral type things. These are fundamental. Kingdom truth, meaning truth that's going to last forever. Truth that goes on for eternity, because this is the truth about God. In Mark chapter 10, Jesus has been ministering here amongst the peoples, and parents were starting to bring children. And when the children were coming, the disciples were under the impression that Jesus was far too important and far too busy to be bothered by them. So we read this in Mark 10, verse 13. They were bringing children to him, to Jesus, that he might touch them. And the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw it, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." And he took them in his arms and blessed them, laying his hands on them. Most of us are familiar with that passage. It's a beautiful passage, a beautiful depiction of Jesus' care for small things. There have been artists who have been inspired by this, who have drawn and painted pictures of Jesus sitting with children all around him. And I think that's an accurate picture. Jesus said, "You bring them to me." And he took them up in his arms and he blessed them. These little ones that the disciples said were insignificant, that needed to be pushed aside to make room for others who were more significant, Jesus said, "We're not going there. You bring the little children." Little matters much. Can you imagine the impact that it had for Jesus to hold these children and indeed to bless them? That's what we're doing. We are being Jesus' arms, Jesus' hands. Through the Awana ministry, through our Sunday school ministry and other children's ministries here, when these children come and we have the opportunity, whether figuratively or literally, to reach out our hands and touch them, to draw them close in our arms, and to share with them these kingdom truths, we are being the arms and hands of Jesus. We are touching the lives of children with Jesus. These people who are being touched through the ministries of Awana are actually being touched through Jesus. Here's another truth. We are developing values that can bring permanent benefits to individuals, families, and whole communities. Developing values. Now, values are, that's not a word that we use a lot anymore. Occasionally, you'll hear some politician use it, and most of us suspect they're lying. But we know that values have a part in all of our lives, that every one of us here has values. It's those values that we hold that make us respond in certain ways. And those values have to be developed. Each of us had our values shaped and developed in the homes in which we grew up. And then most of us here have had our values further honed and shaped and developed as a result of the time that we have spent with God's people, hearing the truth of God. Well, with the ministries of Awana, Sunday school, etc., we are helping families, we are helping children develop values, the kind of values that are going to shape their lives, shape their thoughts, allow them to be able to see things God's way. The goal of Awana, and boys and girls and leaders, you can help me with this. Here it is on the screen behind me. What is it? The goal of Awana is to reach. That's our goal. Reach boys and girls with the gospel of Christ and train them to serve Him. And I'm going to focus on the word train right now. Training requires effort. Training requires repetition. It requires going over it again and again and again. It requires starting at a very basic level. And then as they advance, we give them more and we give them more and we rehearse and we develop. We are training them. The scriptures talk about training in Titus chapter 2, verse 11, where we read, "The grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people." And that's reaching boys and girls with the gospel of Christ. And then verse 12, "training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself up for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works." This is our goal. We are developing values that can bring permanent benefits, not just to the children with whom we interact on a weekly basis, but indeed to the families of those children, and then consequently to other relatives that are beyond that, and to their friendships, to all of their relationships and acquaintances. We are developing those values. We're allowing them to be able to get a biblical perspective or a biblical worldview on life. And that takes place over an extended period of time. It's not just something that you can give once. It's something that has to be rehearsed over and over. And that training teaches these boys and girls to, according to Titus chapter 2, renounce ungodliness and worldly passions. And they're surrounded by that. All of us are. To live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives. This is our objective. Now, I know that ultimately the responsibility for raising children rests at home. And we know that most of the homes that are represented who would come here on a typical Sunday morning are going to be attempting to some degree to develop those kind of values. We also have children that do not come from such homes. We have the opportunity to impact their lives and to help them develop values that may eventually lead to the salvation of family members, even parents. And we rejoice in that. This is significant. So yeah, it's in some ways, some parents may consider this a cheap babysitting means. We bring the kids and we drop them off and we don't have to pick them up for an hour and a half. And yet during that little bit of time that others would consider insignificant, little matters much. And what we're teaching them, what we're showing them, what we're helping them do is develop godliness. And that's going to impact their lives, their families, and their communities. Here's a third thing. We are placing lifelines of hope and purpose throughout our community. Lifelines of hope and purpose. And you think about teaching these children what it means to accept Christ as Savior, and then seeing the joy, having the joy of seeing some of them come to know Jesus personally. And then helping develop in them a biblical worldview, helping develop in them these basic foundational truths about God's Word, and then going above and beyond that as they get into the upper grades and we're going into Trek and we're going into the high school journey where we start developing or working on some of these more abstract thoughts and how they interact with the world around them from a biblical perspective. The result is that when they go out into the world, they are now representing Christ. And they can serve as a lifeline of hope, a lifeline of purpose. We are in a world that is desperately looking for hope. They are looking for meaning in life. And we all well know that most of them are looking in the wrong places. And they're coming up with terrible ideas that are actually fed to them by our enemy. And they are deceived. And the very things that are held out to them as this is what's going to make a difference to you, they find to be empty promises, which only leads to the next lie. And yet, for those who have been trained in the way of truth, we serve as a lifeline of hope, where people will look at these boys and girls, these young men and young women, and say, "I'm not sure what it is, but whatever they've got, that's what I want." And then we have the opportunity to say to them, "Let me tell you how I got it. Let me tell you what it is. Let me tell you about Jesus." You know the purpose of Pahrump Community Church? We're all supposed to. Here it is on the screen behind me. The purpose of Pahrump Community Church is to be an
oasis and thirsty world, offering the hope and joy of knowing Christ.
I admit it's a little bit of a mouthful, but we should all have it memorized. These are great things. This is, as the leadership of this church some years back, prayerfully considered, how would we best express what it is that is our purpose? This is the statement that they came up with through prayer. And we have attempted to fulfill this on a regular basis. We are offering the hope and joy of knowing Christ. We indeed, this is not just about who we are when we're in this little enclosure together. This is about who we are as the people of God, regardless of where we may be at any particular moment. So that when we were out and out in the world around us, others will be able to sense that there's something that we have that they need. There's that hope. That they will be able to sense that we have a joy that allows us to be able to experience peace even when we are in something less than joyful circumstances. We want to have that same hope in the lives of our Awana Clubbers, in the lives of all of our young people here, so that in the world others will look to them and see that there is hope there. This oasis in a thirsty world, we are living in a world that is desperate for truth. And yet, the world is telling them that objective truth does not exist. We know better. We have that truth. We offer that truth. And we want our young men and young women to be able to be lifelines of hope in this community. Hope and purpose. In Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, we read this: "We have this as a sure and steadfast anchor for the soul, a hope that enters into the inner place behind the curtain." This is a reference to the Old Testament, to the tabernacle. And in order to be able to come before the very presence of God, only the priest could go through the curtain that separated the holy place from the most holy place. And then once he was into the most holy place, he was before the very mercy seat of God. Well, we are told in the Scriptures that Jesus Christ ripped that curtain in half and allowed us to be able to come into the very presence of God. We have this hope to enter the holy place through the blood of Jesus Christ, not through a priest. You don't have to ask me to pray for you. You can talk to God yourself. Now, I'm okay with you asking me to pray, but let's do this together, okay? We can come directly before God. 2 Thessalonians 2, again, I read these verses a moment ago. Verse 16 says, "Now may our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God our Father, who loved us and gave us eternal comfort and good hope, through grace, comfort your hearts and establish them in every good work and word." We have this hope to offer the world. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 23, we read, "Whatever you do, work at it heartily as for the Lord." And let me just paraphrase that just for the purpose of this message. Work at it heartily with a purpose in mind. But not just any purpose, with the purpose of pleasing and glorifying the Lord Jesus Christ. So whatever you do, work heartily for the purpose of glorifying Jesus Christ. Not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. When we train up these boys and girls, young men and young women, to love Jesus Christ and to serve Him, then when they go out into this world, starting in their own homes and then in their schools, their neighborhoods, wherever they may go, they are lifelines of hope and purpose. That's our desire. That's our goal. That's where we're going with this. Awana is for kids. But I hope you can see here that there is a much bigger picture. This is not just about kids. It is about the joy of daily life and the assurance of eternity. And that's what all of us want. That's what all of us need. The joy of daily life lived for Jesus, and the assurance of eternity in the presence of our Savior. We proclaim to you today that God is able to give you what you will never get on your own. That is a daily life filled with joy and the assurance of eternal life with Him. The plan is simple enough for a child to understand, even in the early years of Awana, our Sunday school, but it's powerful enough to change your life from this day forward. And here's the plan, simple as it is. Number one, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Most of us are familiar with John 3:16 that expresses God's love. What does it say? For God... Well, most of us, I hear these low voices, but I hear some children's voices there. Thank you. That's good. We're in this together, right? This is a verse about the love of God. And when it says, God so loved the world, that's me. That's you. We are the world. And God so loved us that He gave His Son. God loves you. And He has a plan for your life. According to John chapter 10 and verse 10, Jesus said, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." God has a plan. He has a plan for your life. He loves you and has a plan. The problem is, number two, that man is sinful and separated from God. You hear these verses on a regular basis from this pulpit and elsewhere. But we know that man is sinful because Romans 3:23 says what? That's right. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All have sinned. That means that you are a sinner. I am a sinner. We are all sinners. And have fallen short of the glory of God, which means we are separated from God because of our sin. Yes, God loves us, but it doesn't change the fact that we are sinners. And that sin is what separates us from God. Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is what? Death. That death is not just physical death. Yes, physical death is one of the consequences of sin amongst the human race. But we're talking about a far more serious death, a death that the Bible describes as the second death. And that second death is eternal separation from God by spending eternity in the lake of fire. God does not want us to experience that, but we are destined there because we are sinners, and God has decreed that the wages of sin is death. So yes, God loves you. Yes, God has a wonderful plan for your life. But unfortunately, you and I are sinners, and we are separated from God because of that sin. Which brings me to truth number three. Jesus Christ paid the penalty for man's sin. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 shows that He died in our place. It says, God shows His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus Christ, the only man who ever walked this earth that was and is perfect. He never sinned, never made a mistake, never took a wrong step. He was God in the flesh and is still God, and Jesus Christ never sinned. Therefore, when He died, He could die not for His own sins, but for mine and for yours. God showed His love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Fortunately, He didn't stay dead. He rose from the dead. 1 Corinthians 15:3 says, I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that He was buried, and that He was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that He appeared to Cephas, then to the 12, then He appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Jesus Christ rose from the dead. That is significant because it shows that God the Father had accepted the death of God the Son, Jesus Christ, as sufficient payment for the sins of all mankind. By raising Him from the dead, Jesus conquered death, and He did it for us. And Jesus said, He is the only way to heaven. John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus Christ is the solution for our sin problem. God loves us. He has a plan for our lives. We are separated from Him because of sin. And yet Jesus loved us enough to give His own life in payment for our sins. And He is the way, the truth, and the life. That does not necessarily mean that now every single person can have or has eternal life. It means every single person can have eternal life. But there's something that depends on you, a step that you must take. You must, by faith, receive God's forgiveness and experience God's plan. John 1:12 says, But to all who did receive Him, speaking of Jesus, who believed in His name, He gave the right to become the children of God. We must receive Jesus Christ. We're not going to spend time debating on how it takes place within. What I do know is that there comes a time in my life when I understand that I'm a sinner and I know Jesus is the answer, and now I've got to make a decision. And that's where every one of us needs to be. to make that decision, to receive Jesus Christ, to receive in the sense of believing what the Bible says about Him, believing that He is the sinless Son of God, God in the flesh, believing that He died for your sins, and that He was raised to life, and believing He is the only way to salvation. You do that through faith, according to Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. By grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. We receive Christ through faith, which is an act of faith saying, I believe these truths, and I'm willing to stake my life on them. The good news is, if you have never done that, today you have that opportunity. When the Philippian jailer called out to those who were in the prison who were Christians and said, what do I need to do to have a right relationship with God? Acts 16:31 says, they replied to him, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. That truth is still good today. Believe in the Lord Jesus. Put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. This is the message we deliver at Awana. This is the message we teach in our Sunday school classes. This is the message that is preached from this pulpit every single week. Jesus Christ is the answer. If you have never received Christ as Savior, today needs to be that day. Regardless of how old you are, regardless of what your past may have been, Jesus Christ offers full forgiveness. I'm going to invite you to bow your heads and pray. If you already know you're a Christian, pray for those who are in this room or hearing this message that they would take that step of faith. If you're not sure, then today you can settle that. If you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is God, that He died in your place for your sins, that He was raised from the dead for your salvation, and you're willing to accept Him and allow Him to be your Lord, your boss, direct your life, you can pray a prayer similar to this today. Dear God, I know I'm a sinner. I believe Jesus is God. I believe He died for my sins. I believe He was raised from the dead on the third day. I believe He is the only way to heaven. I ask You to forgive my sins, to come into my life, and to make me Your child. With your heads bowed, if any of you prayed that prayer today and you've never prayed it before, this is the first time, would you just raise your hand so I can rejoice with you? Any, thank you. Any others? Yes, thank you. Lord, You know each of these who have indicated that they prayed that prayer today. You know others who may not have raised their hand, but there are things going on in their hearts right now, and perhaps they're right there. They're praying that prayer, or they're ready to. I pray that this day would not draw to a close before each one in this room who has not made that commitment would give their lives to You, for there is no other way to salvation. I thank You, Lord, that we at Pahrump Community Church, through all of our ministries, have the privilege of being able to proclaim this gospel, this good news to the world around us, that just as You have saved me, so You offer to save anyone who will come to You. I thank You for the Awana ministry and for the opportunity today to put a focus on that. And we rejoice today in the powerful message that is being proclaimed through Awana, through our Sunday school and others, the message that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. This is the good news. We rejoice in Jesus' name. Amen.